Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2. 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon. 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So welcome to Dialed In, the official podcast of not really anybody but Lost Chevrolet Buick. And this is episode number
11.
11.
It's 11. Yeah.
We're continuing our streak of different languages. And that one is
Southern American is what I'm going with. Because if they know, it's not 11. That whole syllable, that E doesn't exist. It's just 11.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You go down there and talk. You've been tracing with some guys. He's like, yeah, I'm 11 dead five. Like, 11. No, I'm 11 dead five. All right. So anyway, here we are, episode number 11. And we are live Lost Chevrolet Buick studio, which is a mobile studio apparently, because we're always in different places. How's it going,
man? It's going pretty well. Just had a pretty easy going week, really. Didn't do any racing this weekend. We had the kids at the house all weekend, and Saturday night we ended up having some people over and just had a fire in the backyard, which was about the coldest night of the year to do that, but we made a pretty big fire, so that made it all right, and had plenty to eat. So just had a good time sitting around with some friends, and not real exciting. Sunday I didn't really do much of anything, which was kind of nice. I actually felt like a little bit of a real restful weekend. Was ready to go, hoping to go to Memphis this weekend. So that's one thing we're going to talk about, is the Great American Bracket Race and All-State Challenge is called off for the weekend. So anybody having plans like myself to go to Memphis International Raceway, you are out of luck. They determined that the weather was not going to be conducive to having cars go down the racetrack. So I'm, in a way, I guess I'm glad they didn't wait until the last minute to cancel it and cancel it early.
Man, I was going to go. I really was. This was the time.
Was the time. Jake was going to grace MIR with his presence. And Mother Nature said, no dice. No, sir. No race, though. It is what it is. And we'll just get ready for going out, I guess, on Thanksgiving weekend somewhere. Do you want to give a shout out to all the veterans out there? Happy Veterans Day. I know it was on Sunday, actually. Observed today. I know kids in our area were off school. And shout out to all veterans. Thank you for your service. For me personally, I think I have lots of family members are in the service, but my two grandfathers who have passed, one was a fighter pilot, flew P-51s over Italy mostly, and then my other grandfather was in the Seavey, so he basically built landing strip in the Pacific on islands and things like that. So yeah, shout out to all veterans out there, and also shout out to Jeff Lambert, Armed Forces Racing. Everybody check out that story on drag coverage. Talks about Jeff and the great things he's doing for veterans. They put race cars together, veterans build the cars, they drive the cars, so it's a great program he's got going.
Yeah, and speaking of Jeff Lambert, Armed Forces Racing, did you keep track of Hot Rod Fincham over the weekend?
Man, I tell you what, I watched a couple of this morning, actually, and man, he wears me out. I've watched him and just wears me out. His enthusiasm is very infectious for the sport. Man, he's awesome to watch, and he's a heck of a good driver.
Yeah, that he is, and then he about got it done, and I feel like that's one of those guys that has America behind him at all times.
Yeah, he just eats, sleeps, and breathes America, and Fincham is one of a kind, that's for sure. And his Fast and Fincham show, if anybody listened to this, I'm sure you probably have seen it, but if you haven't, look it up, watch his videos. There's nobody that takes you through a bracket race and can make, seven 70s or whatever that car is running, seems very, very exciting.
He wasn't leaving in low gear or high gear this weekend. He was leaving in middle gear. Yeah, it's three speed dial. He left in second gear and he was down like 798 all weekend long. That's just incredible, because it leaves, it sounds like it's in high gear and it's pulling and pulling, and then it shifts. You're like, oh, all right. But and bigger news, Rambo number one hundo.
How impressive. David Rampe getting his 100th national event win, and to do it at the finals where it's your last chance for the season to get it done. We've been waiting on Rambo to get this done. I know he at least lost in one or two finals. Yeah, one weekend, yes, he did lose in two finals at one event. And that's just what a capstone. What is a just an incredible career that David Rampe has had. Ever since I was a kid watching him win and everything that he drove, and no matter what category, it's just really cool to see him get that done. And it was just I watched the the round, and you know, I couldn't help but get goosebumps when I saw the wind light come on, and just to think about, you know, the just his career as a total and what that has meant to sportsman racing.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, at the end of the day, there's only going to be, you know, a handful of guys that have ever been able to do that, and for him to finally solidify his name on that list, I feel like the pressure has been off, and he's probably just going to go a full Rambo on him from here on out.
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, once he gets over that hump, it's definitely no stranger to any type of pressure, but you know, yeah, just seemed like when he got to 99, it was just that little bit of a hump to get over, and he finally did it, of course, in grand fashion at the finals. Huge congratulations to David Rampe and his whole family and team.
Absolutely. Zach, you kind of touched on it a little bit. The Great American Bracket Race All-State Challenge is not going to happen in 2018. That being said, that'll give Big Jed a whole nother calendar year of bragging rights up until at least May, right?
Yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that. The Alabama Slammers could, you know, actually repeat now if they get their team together for next year. So yeah, that's a good point.
And that rolls us into a little bit of bill paying, Zach, as our good friends at Lal Chevrolet, I think they're going to show up at Huntsville for the Thanksgiving race also. So maybe if you decide to go a little further south with us, you can come hang out with old Steve-O and I.
All right. Lal Chevrolet Buick in Boonville, Indiana is a family-owned sales and service center proudly serving the tri-state for over 10 years. Racing has always been in Lal Chevrolet's blood, and over the past few years, we have been blessed with the opportunity to serve hundreds of racers from all across the nation. All of us here at Lal Chevrolet Buick would like to thank each and every racer for the opportunity to do business. And remember, if you buy a vehicle anywhere else, it's not the tires you will be kicking. And remember, everybody, they still have the promotion going on. If you mention the Dialed In podcast when you're going in there, that's 3 months worth of free gas in the tank of your vehicle that you purchased there. So make sure you tell them that you heard it here on Dialed In first.
Yep. Steve-O and the gang still selling cars. And they sold a couple dragsters. I'm not sure if you knew that or not. The house cars are gone. A couple new racecrafts on the way.
Yeah, I'm going to say, as soon as you were saying that, it's like, well, then I'm sure they're reloading bigger and better and newer for next year. So yeah, that's awesome. And yeah,
Scotty Too Hotty got his dragster back. And I'm not sure where Steve's car went.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who knows? It's going to be an animal, whoever ends up with it, as long as they like just leave it alone. So the world finals out in Pomona this past weekend, and they crowned not only the pro champions, but the end of the line for the Summit ET Series in 2018. They put a cap on a really exciting Super Comp race, as I kept up with Luke Bogacki on Twitter and how he kept everybody updated. So we thank him for that. Tanner Gray getting it done in Pro Stock, the youngest winner ever. I think it was 19 years and 8 months, I believe, or 6 months. I don't know. An incredible feat for that crew. And J.R. Todd getting it done in Funny Car. Matt Smith coming down to the final round of Pro Stock Bike was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Steve Torrance just tearing them up.
Did you see the final in Top Fuel? I looked at the results earlier. Was nasty. I didn't get to watch it. But, you know, normally when Tony Schumacher is up there, he tends to get the reaction time advantage more often than not. You know, he dips down into the 50s and 40s. And Steve Torrance laid down a 29 light on him. Tony was 53, which is really good in Top Fuel, and got beat on a hole shot. I think he went 370 with a zero, and Torrance was 370 with a two or something like that. But yeah, I got the hole shot on him to get out there. So well done. Did you see the celebration with the nitro powered margarita mixer?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's Scott Palmer's, but yeah, that was pretty incredible. And I've seen it before. Scott Palmer used to have it at the all the exhibition stuff he did for Top Fuel, like I'm Martin, Michigan and stuff, but that's mm-hmm. a way to celebrate. And, you know, they say the Capco guys can celebrate, but Team Kalita threw down.
Yes, they did. That was awesome to see, and way to go for JR. I think the way to go on the podcast with him and Langdon, I keep hearing on Nomex Effect. I think he's going to talk JR into getting one of these bracket cars one of these days. We'll probably see him out there before too long chasing this big money. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to run down from Pomona, the Sportsman and the Lucas Oil champions that end at the end of the year for all the different categories. Start with Top Alcohol Dragster, the national champ this year, Joey Severin. Top Alcohol Funny Car was Sean Bellamer. And Comp Eliminator was Frank Aragona Jr. in a little dragster out of New Jersey. Superstock, Justin Lamb, again.
Yeah, and national again, champion. Joey Severance has won like four in a row now on Top Alcohol Dragster also.
Yeah.
Little fun fact there.
Stock Eliminator, Brian McClanahan, national champ. Justin Lamb, second place by 1 point. So almost got the double up. And then, you know, somebody as good as McClanahan sneaks in there by 1 point. So congrats to him. Steve Williams, Super Comp. And then Super Gas, national champ this year is Devin Eisenhower, who we had on last week. And
which was in attendance. He was in attendance in Pomona. I did see that.
And then Top Dragster had Paul Nero taking the crown this year, and Top Sportsman was Ronald Proctor Sr. taking the national championship.
Ronnie Proctor made the drive from out east all the way to Vegas to seal the deal and threw down with like the other two guys that were in contention. Or at least
that's a heck of a haul.
Yeah, and there's no easy way to get from the East Coast to anywhere Las Vegas at all. Not even a little bit. But with that being said, with the Sportsman Champions, the Summit ET Series Champions, we had three of our, I don't want to say local, but, you know, Division III had three finalists in four categories. And that was pretty special, and only one of them got it done.
All right, so the Sportsman ET Finals out in Pomona. In ET Motorcycle, the winner this year was John Markham, took the win over Jeremy Hicks. Mr. Markham was 002 in the final round, so way to go for him getting it done. Nice light in the final. And Pro ET saw Nelson Beloit Jr. take the win over Dustin Loyne.
Did you see that picture in the winner's circle?
Oh, where he had Shallow written on the window?
It was a Nova, yeah.
Oh, man.
Perfect. Shout out Real Bracket Racing Tech.
That is amazing. Yes, way to go making Real Bracket Racing Tech reach farther out into the world. We appreciate that. Dustin Loynes in that Pro ET final, the runner up, by the way, was 000. Looked like he took a little bit too much stripe and went under. But yeah, 000 in the final round and didn't get it done. So Sportsman ET, Brian Hendrickson taking the win. He has 005 in the final, and he took the win over Brent Erickson. And in Super Pro, the winner was Pat Osmondson over Jeremy Hancock. And it looked like they had a pretty tight final round. Yeah, Osmondson was 16 and dead zero. Or no, sorry, 16 dead six. And Hancock was 19 dead seven. So getting the win for fourth out in the final with Osmondson. So congrats to all the champions. And congrats on just making it for everybody that was in that race and making the haul out there to Pomona. That's an awesome program that they have. And congrats to all the winners.
Yeah, and a little podcast bump update. Mikey Sturgill made the tow out there and was 1,000 red round number one. And the event runner-up Hancock was like 56 in the other lane. That's one thing you do at home. You drive, you know, 30 hours one way, turn into foul red, and your guy lays down a whole bunch total next to you. That's one that just really cuts deep. And if that doesn't have him trying to avenge that loss next year, I don't know what will.
Yeah, that's a long ride home after a 001 red. But, you know, Mikey had a fantastic year. And, you know, that's an error, as I've heard Mr. Magaki say, that's an error made in aggression. So in a way, that's, you know, yes, it was a red light that cost you the round, but 001, you're really, really close to having a 000 light. So and after that, the other results to talk about this weekend, Emerald Coast had the foot brake to Freedom Race. And Jake, you got the results on that?
Yes, I do. Saturday, the first 10K, Edmund Ellison got the win over Edmund Ellison. He ran himself in the final for $10,000 in Josh Green's beautiful Chevy 2 Nova. And the second 10K, Chris Cox got the win over Hot Rod Fincham, which I felt like America was pulling for Hot Rod.
Yes.
You know, Facebook Live, and then, you know, he had the tough loss against Pennington and came back around and rolled the other entry down to the final round. I believe that was on Saturday. Sunday, the final 10K of the weekend, Thomas Hawley, a guy that is very well respected in the no box bottom bulb world, got the win over Bruno, Tony Brock. Bruno is from the Kentucky area and is always down at Clay City and I-64, kicking everybody's heads in, hanging out with Phil Billy Combs. Pretty good to see Thomas Hawley get another one back on the big stage. He kind of joked on Facebook. He said he got his first big win. And Thomas Hawley has won a whole bunch of big checks. From what I saw, it was a pretty good turnout at Emerald Coast for the, I forget, what did they call that series?
The Foot Brake to Freedom.
Yeah, Foot Brake to Freedom. And that was the same guy that's putting on the New Year's Nationals down at Palm Beach. Rob Reynolds is his name. And he's got some pretty good races. And I hope I can venture down that way sometime and race in that part of the Floridian area, because that seems like a beautiful racetrack and a beautiful place to try to turn on wind lights in November.
Yeah, and I think it ended up, I'm not sure, the way I looked at Fincham's video, looked like it was pretty cold at some point down there. So even going that far south of Florida, I think they still had some, you know, 40, 50 degree temperatures to contend with. So yeah, it looked like a good race and an awesome job putting on a big, you know, big money foot brake race. And it looked like a lot of racers went down there and made the journey. So coming up this weekend, or anybody wanting to venture out that, you know, was going to Memphis to need somebody else somewhere else to race. You got the American Door Slammer Nationals at Piedmont, North Carolina, coming up this weekend. 10, 20, and 10, all door cars. Looks like an awesome race. Loose Rocker's putting on out there. I know Immokalee's got a race, and it's...
It's Immokalee.
Immokalee. That was close.
It's close.
Immokalee.
That's right. I used to say, you know, you're doing great. Keep it up.
Yeah. Well, I was close. Yeah. All right. So they got a race going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think it's 10 to win every day, isn't it?
Yep. I believe so.
Yep. So, racers in those part of the countries, lucky you still got to race, and the ones traveling. Looks like great races going on this weekend. And then Thanksgiving weekend, pretty much any direction you want to head, I guess that's south, southeast, southwest, you're going to have somewhere to race, you know, between Beach Bend, Huntsville, Mountain Park, Prescott, and there's another race down in Louisiana too. Pine Valley's having a big race, so a ton of stuff going on Thanksgiving.
Yep, I think we're gonna try to be in the same spot, you know, if the weather cooperates. I was telling you earlier that Herschel, the guy that I drive for, came over to put the cars up for the winter and put them in the trailer and whatnot, and you know, he got there before he unloaded the cars. You know, I'm, you know, Herschel, you gotta understand, he's I think he's in his early 60s, late 50s, and you know, he doesn't like being cold, so you can imagine the mood he was in for starters. I'm done. I ain't doing this getting cold crap no more. We're done for the year, this, that. And then the next sentence he said, do you see what Huntsville had Thanksgiving weekend? Which Huntsville's his favorite racetrack, so they might not be put up for the winter. He might have one long car and two semi-long cars show up, a couple of junior dragsters en route. So yeah, there's a lot of racing left to go, and the Loose Rocker Promotions, they're at Piedmont back-to-back races. The Footbreak Frenzy looks like a pretty good show. The Door Slammer Nationals, isn't that what they call that? The first one, the 10-20-10?
Yeah, American Door Slammer Nationals.
See, if I would read the information given to me, I wouldn't have to ask. But, all right. But loose rocker races, man, they're always a good time, and I get to hopefully go to one soon enough and go see my old buddy Ron Huntley Jr. and Michael Beard and Anthony Walton and all those guys. So looks like a busy schedule for anybody that wants to get behind the windshield, or anybody that lives somewhere warm or East Coast, pretty much anywhere but Indiana, Kentucky, Midwest area.
Yeah, we're done here. They're talking about snow tonight. They're talking about more snow later this week, possibly already, and it seems like winter is maybe moving in a little bit earlier than it has in years past. I mean, I know there's been some years it's been super cold through November. I mean, I remember I saw snow at the turkey race at Beach Bend a couple times, but still a ton of racing coming up.
So episode number 11, we have what was the next big thing, and the less handsome, just as talented Ellison brother. We have Edmund Ellison here with us this weekend, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're not too good. Bad. We're
not as good as you, but good.
Happy to be here.
So tell us what happened last weekend. You had a pretty big showing and a pretty good month so far in the Rent a Ride.
Yeah, I'm extremely fortunate. I drove pretty good, but every coin flip that had to go my way went my way, and it ended up with me racing myself in the final for 10 grand.
That's not the first time that's happened, right? Not 10 grand, but at Killcare, you run yourself in the final quite a bit. You and Caleb both, right?
I don't know if Caleb had. I think Caleb got close. I'm not sure that he has. I have one time last fall at Killcare.
Yeah, I thought I remembered something like that.
So, Edmund, I know that you're known for driving a lot of different cars, you and your brother both. So, how many different rides have you been in 2018?
Probably five or six.
Do you keep track of total how many it is?
Like in my life?
Yeah.
Probably at least 20. Somewhere around there.
Nice. When any particular favorites? Which is your favorite car?
I mean, I've been very fortunate to drive some cool stuff. I drove a super stock truck some this year for David Simmons, and that thing was really, really nice. I drove Rob Kropfeldt's Vega wagon, and that's always been one of my favorite cars. Mm-hmm. But and this Chevy 2 is just unreal how nice it is. It's just every little thing is perfect and clean, and just very fortunate that Josh and Emery's let me drive it these last couple weeks.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up. Was is Josh Green's car the nicest you've driven? I think you pretty well answered that.
Yeah, it's right up there. It's definitely at the top or tied with some others. But yeah, it's very, very nice.
Yeah, so Josh obviously is taking you under his wing a little bit, and he's a very respected footbreaker in his own rights. And growing up around Boomer Ellison, man, that has to be a good time. You know, Boomer's always a good time at the racetrack. Kind of give us a little bit of background of where you came from, where you started, and give us a good Boomer story out of it.
Well, I started when I was 8 racing juniors. dad's raced since, I think, 1994 is when he started racing. It's been before then he's been going. But, you know, growing up watching him race, it was always something I wanted to do. And I got to start when I was 8 and race juniors, and it's kind of went on from there. I got in a big car when I was 15, and then here and there, and then really started racing them when I was 16. And I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of good people that's really helped me out along the way, my dad included and my parents. We kind of got a running joke. Me and my dad don't always see eye to eye, so we joke that I get fired every once in a while. So this has been a good year. I got fired once.
Yeah, and being around your...
Just don't always communicate so well.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I work with my dad every day. I know exactly what you're talking about. Being around your dad at the racetrack, you know, that's the guy that, you know, he may not turn on a whole lot of wind lights in one day, even though he's very capable, but he's always having a good time.
He definitely don't have a problem having a good time.
Does the dragster even have a three-step on it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Edmund, if you would, just kind of let our listeners that may not know exactly with you and your brothers racing, what are your ages? What's the age difference? And how has racing with your brother been influential on your career?
I'm 22. I want to say Caleb's 19. I definitely think that we make each other better. We push each other to, you know, continue to strive to improve, and the success we've been able to have and to be there for each other through it. Just very fortunate.
Yeah, that's awesome to have a sibling that close in age to share it with. I was trying to think, Jake, of others that have the same type of situation. I know the Walters that raced up at Lions in your area, up your way, are set of brothers. That's really good too. It seems to be that situation where siblings drive each other to be better and to see who can accomplish more, but then at the same time celebrate with your sibling when they do something well. So I think that's really awesome, something really special that you've got.
Definitely. It's just we got to be two of the luckiest kids in the world to have the opportunities that we do.
And there's something to be said about that, because, you know, you guys do drive a lot of race cars. I mean, no offense to anybody that you've driven for, there's been some cars that, you know, are in the winner's circle because of you and Caleb, and that, you know, that shouldn't be overshadowed at all. Then again, you get in a good ride and you just make it that much better. So, you know, that's probably what sticks out the most to me about you two is you could drive a moped. Literally. I'd bet the house on black if you guys run mopeds against the field. It doesn't really matter.
Well, thank you very much.
So give me your biggest win to date. You know, what win sticks out the most to you? And it doesn't have to be financially or sentimentally, for instance, but give me a win that you look back on and that's it for you.
And probably this one. This one was cool. It sucked that, like, my parents weren't there, but I won that one at Holly Springs a couple weeks ago, and dad was there for that, but my fiance wasn't. She had to stay home and work, so this one was really neat to win and her be there. And I've won some bigger ones since we've been, you know, together, but I never won something that big, so that meant a lot to have her there to share it with.
Yeah, and, for sure.
I mean, the racing yourself in the final part, that's something I've just dreamed of, to do it on a big stage and in an environment like that. So that probably helps put it way up there too.
Awesome. So what I wanted to ask is, as far as maybe the end of your career, you look back at and you say, and maybe at the end, let's think way off in the future someday when you decide to hang up the helmet, what does Edmund Ellison need to accomplish to say that the racing career met all of your expectations or goals?
And probably at the top of my racing bucket list is I really, really want to win a world championship in stock or super stock, and I really, really want to win the World Foot Brake Challenge. The Millions there too, but I enjoy the bottom ball side more, so those two things are definitely right at the top.
So your brother has recently had quite a bit of success in a dragster, which is pretty unconventional for you guys. How cool is it to see your little brother out there hopping in something like going 460 and turning on a whole bunch of wind lights, and how much does that make you want to get out there and do the same thing?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's just cool to show that he's not just capable of hitting the bottom, that he can do it on the top. I do enjoy bottom ball, because, like, there's a lot of, or a little less package race, say. Everything is so good anymore, where a lot of top ball race feels like he's let go, hold it wide open. Seems like, to me, that he's still going to do a little more driving on the no box side, as far as not being tied to a practice tree race a ton.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's kind of what I figured. So give me a couple similarities of you and Caleb's driving style, and give me a couple differences.
Man, we really drive a lot alike. I can't even be honest.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I feel like you might hold a little more than Caleb at times, and I feel like you know quite a bit what to get rid of.
I think I'm going to hold as I'd be slower car. If there's one difference, that'd probably be.
Yep.
So one thing I noticed, saw that you were putting on a learn to race event over the summer at Killcare and trying to get some new blood into the sport, what it looked like to me. So talk about that a little bit. How did it end up going?
It went really well. We ended up only having two of them. We were supposed to have three, and one got rained out. The next got rained out. We had to reschedule. But it was it was really cool. You know, you kind of take for granted a lot of things. It seemed like basic. So to have people come out that have never, I mean, there was people that came out that's never seen a drag race. They didn't know what it meant to be green or to be red and just got to start scratch. It was really cool. It was really rewarding because even though when they left, like if they had never been before and never seen a drag race, they weren't, you know, going to be able to go win anything. But just the progress they made in short hours was really rewarding.
I probably should have attended that.
Yeah. Come on, Jake. Yeah, I think that's awesome. Getting some new people involved and teaching them the basics, because I think, I don't know if I've said in the stands, national events when the sportsman cars are running or even at a bracket race and hear comments that you hear people say, you know, they don't understand it. And a lot of people don't understand the basics of how it works. I always love that meme. I'm sure you guys have seen it where it's like Tommy Boy, where Chris Farley has the car on fire on the guy's desk. And it's just trying to explain bracket racing. And that's pretty much, you know, what it's like unless you can actually get out there and do it. So I think that's awesome to bring new people on board and teach them the basics. So bravo.
Right. The way we did it was like, started, we track walk, we'd let them make time run a few hours. We'd always starting line to kind of go over the ticket and tell them, okay, try this, try that. And then at a certain time, each car that came in the gate alternated. So then we raced them against each other, you know, Team Edmund versus Team Caleb. And Caleb's team, we did get to race. Just have that on.
Oh, man. What is your guys' all-time record against each other? You keep track?
Off the top of it, he probably was up 4-0 or so. If it's not even, I might be down or up somewhere right around.
I'm pulling for you, buddy.
Yeah, maybe one day.
So a little bit more in depth, you know, I know probably a little more than people pay attention to. You're more interested in drag racing than just driving. And, you know, just that program there showed it. But you shadowed Scotty Richardson quite a bit and you kind of helped him promote a couple races. So tell me kind of where you're wanting to head with this thing. What's your end game here?
I don't know. I just love his sport. Or make a good impact. We got a lot of different directions going right now. It's going to be interesting how it all shakes out. I'd like to put on a no-box race, something along those lines. It just seems like right now those races don't get much support. So it's probably not the right time. I'd like to add.
So as far as your 2018 campaign, I have a feeling I know the answer to this, at least one race, but are you have plans to go racing still?
I don't know. I'm on the fence. We closed on a house way back and didn't get into it till Memorial Day. They had rented from us, and I really kind of dropped the ball. I mean, we did a lot of inside just about. I was installing floors some today. We're putting the washing stuff in right now. But so I'd love to. I need this thing done because I kind of neglect it way more than I should have.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no, I understand. Sometimes other things take priority.
So, Edmund, we're not going to keep you much longer. We just got a few quick questions and we'll let you get on your way. We really appreciate you coming on. What state has the best bracket raisers in the nation?
Ohio.
Shocker. Favorite thing to eat on race day?
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings. Like hot wings?
Well,
like
after not the race.
I gotcha.
When we get done.
So, being from Ohio, and you know, I venture over there and race every now and then. Give me one local guy that should race these big money races more than he does, other than Mikey Sturgill.
I wasn't ready for that one. Probably on top of the top.
Yep. I agree with that.
All right. Shifting completely away from racing. What's your favorite band or music?
Randy Travis is probably my
favorite. Attaboy. You just threw Zach a curveball. He wasn't expecting that. He's thinking, Randy Travis, is that Metallica? No, not at all. I think that's all I've got for you, man. And I don't know if Zach's done yet, but I really appreciate you coming on and spending your renovation time with us for the last 20 minutes or so. And congratulations on the 2018. Yep.
Because I'm sure my dad don't know that you guys had me on, but there ain't no way we any of the stuff we without him. I mean, I don't know the work's harder to tell him.
Remember the time he put gas in Cropfields Vega?
I remember leaving the gas cap off.
You don't remember him taking it to the staging lanes and trying to start it? He filled it up with 87 octane.
Yeah,
he was real happy.
I'm sure that probably didn't go over well.
That was one of those days you were busy working the back of the lanes.
Boomer
works his hands down to the knuckle, and even if he's not driving, if he is driving, he works that much harder. And you know, it's pretty cool to see you guys all go to the racetrack together.
Yeah, we're definitely, me and Caleb got it way better than deserved. We're very grateful.
Are you allowed back at Killcare yet?
Yeah, that's Caleb. He's been in all of these. That's kind of how they'll start it, actually, make a positive country, kind of try to smooth out everything.
Just give a little backstory on that, because people are going to be like, what?
There were some disagreements late in a race last year, and it ended up in Caleb and Dad not being allowed in. It probably was overblown on both sides. I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly, you know, the story. I was in Bristol, but they were banned for the rest of the year, but it worked out. They're back in this year. Yeah.
From what I gathered, it was just a really, really big misunderstanding.
That's really all it was, and in the end of it, one person wasn't willing to let something go. So, but you'll have that times, and it all worked out. So, all's well that ends well.
Got any shameless plugs for the Practice Tree race this winter?
Yeah, the original Practice Tree Nationals. I'm about positive it's the second weekend of January. Look on Facebook, you'll see it if it's not, but that should be the date. And it's in Beaver Creek, Ohio. It's always a good time, so come down to that.
Well, Edmund, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of Dialed In. We're happy to have you, and congrats on your great success, and more importantly, your engagement. And I wish you the best of luck, buddy.
Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, man. Okay. So before we get into the InMotion Solutions final round this week, Zach, we completely missed the boat last week. We had an opportunity to talk about what Hoosier Racing tires do to a door car. And Chris Weaver's door came off about 60 foot, and he let her rip right down the racetrack, turned on the wind light to come back around. And Danny Weaver's, I guess he put it on Facebook, they duct taped the door on where he drove it down to, I think, 5 or 3 cars. How incredible was that?
I know everybody had saw this if they watched Motor Mania, but if not, we'll have to look up and post maybe on Facebook, I guess, exactly what race that was on that weekend. I can't remember. But yeah, the door comes off, never even thinks about letting up, doesn't affect him at all. He goes down there and stripes the dude by 1 thou on the drop.
I mean, that thing came off like before the 60 foot cone, like a little bit of tire shake, door comes off, and then you got to worry about what you're still got going for your game plan there.
Right. And it's not, Blake Richardson, I believe, was in the other lane. So it's not like it's, not at anybody those races are slouches, but Blake is excellent driver and very capable. When I watched the replay, I think Blake's truck went a little bit to the right whenever it left. So he was fighting it a bit going down track, and that probably played into the Chris Weaver's hands a little bit, where he had a little more room than he normally would have. But yeah, I mean, heads up driving on his part, man, to have that happen. I'm sure everything got pretty noisy and windy pretty quick, but to keep your head in the game and just keep into the race, that was an amazing display of focus for sure. So yeah, awesome job by the Weavers, and awesome job fixing it. That's why I told Danny on Facebook, I said it looked like you just would have bought that at a store, the way it was taped on there. It was perfect.
Yeah, that needed a Brandon Taylor, the Alabama salvage vehicle sticker posted on that thing. That had a fire hazard. I mean, the fire marshal probably could have showed up and said, hey, no, we're not driving that, you can't get out of it.
Right.
But anyway, so that'll lead us into the InMotion Solutions final round. Go to InMotion Solutions and type in Dialed In 000, 20% off, name and number, set and or more items if you call the InMotion Solutions phone number posted right there on their website. Zach, this week it was pretty much public knowledge, so I feel like we could name names. Rob Reynolds, the promoter of the Footbrick race at Emerald Coast Dragway, went Facebook Live more than one time to clarify that one Toby Barnes is not allowed at the event due to Toby just saying, hey, there's a chance of rain and the track's not going to be very good, and, you know, we're looking out for safety here, which, you know, is also a catch-22. Toby, a former $1 million race runner-up, the first $1 million race, and I guess that's one way to get publicity for your Footbrick race coming up. But not that we shouldn't err on the side of safety, but, you know, that promoters make promoter decisions and racers make racer decisions. I feel like that should be, you know, business and pleasure life kind of should be separate just as well as it is in personal life. But I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's certain cases for certain things. I mean, in this case, it doesn't sound like, I mean, if you're not going to go, or you're concerned about going, okay, that's, you know, you decide, you decide what you're going to do and do that, you know, for whatever, you know, makes you feel good about your decision and your safety and your money and all that stuff. On the promoter side of it, I understand his point of view. He's trying to make a buck at promoting a race. Obviously, this is a business. He's trying to make sure that he's got enough cars to do that and have it be a success and be able to continue holding races for racers, you know, that are going to want to go, the foot brake racers such as Toby are going to want to go to, you know, so I don't see the, I guess I just don't see the benefit there in trying to deter people from going. You know, the weather forecast, I'm sure that the racetrack was looking at it. I'm sure the promoter was looking at it. They were all well aware of the situation, and looked like they ended up having a good event. So, you know, on the other side of it, if you, you know, I also understand you go to an event, you know, you are there, you have paid your money, you are a participant in this event, and maybe, you know, I don't know, the track promoter, whatever, doesn't handle things, maybe in, you know, the way that you think you like. I mean, I guess that's your right to put on Facebook. I mean, heck, I know I've done that before, and I've gave everybody my 2 cents, and then that's pretty much it. So, you know, I see it from that point of view. But if you're not there and a race hadn't even happened yet, I don't really see the point.
Yeah, and that's, we see that a lot in the SFG side, you know, and a lot of those guys, they don't, I don't know, they like to speak their 2 cents, and at the same time, they want to show up and race the race.
Right.
I know Toby more than likely would have been there had he been allowed on the grounds, but you know, I don't understand the thought process on let's try to hurt the car count more than, you know, it's the end of the year already, and it's no secret that everybody's spent, it's shown that at multiple races. There's no need to talk down upon an event that a guy is just trying to put a decent race on for anybody that wants to come down and race. And you know, there's several guys from our area down there, and they didn't care what the weather said and how good the track was going to be. They were going to show up and race what they were capable of racing. So it was I guess it was kind of the wrong way to go about it to voice your concern, and it kind of got exploited, I feel like. So I don't know, just I guess it goes back to the old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. But you know,
right,
we've all been there, we've all said those things, and we've all paid for them at one point or another. I'm sure I've been kicked out of some pretty good place, so
well, it happens. And you know, and then people say things that they, you know, end up regretting it later, and that, you know, that's just part of life. All that being said, you know, like I was saying earlier, it looked like it was a great event down there. It looked like everybody had a good time. You know, and that the promoter hopefully will be continuing to put on those races for the foot brake racers to go to and to support them, because you know, like Edmund kind of mentioned earlier, for the big no box race, you know, the car count sometimes is iffy, and those guys don't get out and travel as much, you know, not as there's a small percentage that travel a lot, feel like, but you know, it's tough sometimes for those no box racers even to pull the local guys that normally go there and support the big race at their home track.
Yeah, and really hats off to Rob Reynolds. You know, it's not his first race he's ever promoted, don't get me wrong, but you know, he not letting anybody push him over, whether it be me or you, or be guy with success like Toby Barnes has, you know, and you have to come out and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. I know this is what it says. And that's what Rob Reynolds did. And and if you don't like it, don't come. If you don't talk bad about it, I'll exploit you. That's kind of what he did. And it's his race. It's kind of like it's his sandbox, and he can invite whoever he wants to play in it. And he did just that. And it turned out pretty good from what I understand. So we'll be excited to see how the race turns out at PBIR here in about a month or so. But yeah, so if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say it. That's the moral of the episode.
There we go. Yeah, awesome. Little good words of wisdom from Jake Hodge for everybody to live by.
trying to I'm turn over a new leaf.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my body next week. No, not really.
Whoa. good luck breaking every bone you have, putting a phrase for myself on there. So I think that'll do it. Episode number 11.
11.
11. Yeah. Episode number 11. That'll do it for us here. And we will see you guys next week with some results from hopefully the American Door Slammer Nationals this upcoming weekend and some Immokalee. I know Kenny Underwood made the venture. He's been down in Immokalee since he left Reynolds. He has his favorite racetrack in the history of ever. So that's kind of where Kenny grew up. And I would venture to say he's probably going to be in the results section next week.
Yeah, I'd say that'd be a pretty safe bet. Thank you all for joining us again. And we are into double-digit episodes and steaming right on ahead. And thanks to all of you that have shared our podcast, that have liked it, that follow it, that listen every week. We really appreciate you guys. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about or cover, please don't hesitate to hit us up. We got stickers for sale, $10 a set of decals. Go out there and win a race, and you come on the podcast and tell us about it. So we really look forward to getting that rolling and getting a lot of people out there running our stickers. So please get a hold of Jake and I. We will get you a set. And until next week, you guys, everybody, good luck. Stay safe and happy bracket race.
We'll see you guys in Stadium Lanes. Have a good one.